This will be interesting because I rarely hear what I say.
And my minotaur died within seconds. This thing had to be twice as strong as them.
And then the far side of the room behind a blanket was totally two people doing it.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
I think as far as ways to introduce yourself to new people, that's been my favorite.
Certainly got a good army story. Clinton? Sailor?
The army and the navy are two separate branches.
Sorry.
Just letting you know.
We are live and recording, and welcome back to another edition of The DM is Calling. With me, my partner and commoner in the hot seat, as it were, Big C. Before we begin this in earnest, I got to ask, because we were talking about Army, Navy, Taiwan, and college stories, you know, the proverbial sock on the door and all that stuff. Have you got one for us?
I go into the room that was once his room, and I kind of like kick the door open trying to startle him. And it's totally the two new residents. One of them was like, dude, you shouldn't be in here right now. And then the far side of the room behind a blanket was totally two people doing it.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
I think as far as ways to introduce yourself to new people, that's been my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there like a thing with a sock on the door? I mean, didn't anyone watch the cool cartoon called Undergrads? That was an awesome show.
Never saw it, but I've heard of the sock on the door thing. I've seen it before, but let me just text my roommate since we have phones in this day
and
age.
Are you kidding me? I'd be putting it up there twice a week. Different color socks. Different woman. I'm the man.
Yeah, but somebody's going to come along and take it.
Aiden's just drying his laundry on the doorknob. You know, they all think he's the man. Jeez, he's got the socks doubled and rolled up. He's the fucking master. Look at this. You like close the door and you have the sock hanging over the crack, just hanging down like laundry. But it's like, oh, he's got like three women in there. Look at all those fucking socks. There's like a guy curled up outside the door. It's his roommate. I haven't been home in days. And it's like, wow, where's my roommate? I got all my laundry done. What about you, Reed?
2 hour
good
drive.
College. I never went to college. Like I said, I'm not a professional photographer. I was going to go get my BA in photography, and I got a tip that the whole world was going to go digital, and all my former training I had up to that point was going to be worth nothing. So I tanked it. I went to Australia instead. It was fun. 3 months in Australia instead of 4 years of college.
School I would have knocks. Liked that better. Yeah.
What about you, Reed? You got any good college stories? What about you? Certainly got a good army story. Sailor? Clinton?
The army and the navy are two separate branches.
Sorry.
Just letting you know.
I switched.
Oh, man. I got all kinds of stories, yeah. But oh, boy.
The woman you take into the room and she, you know, you're doing your business and she's like, did you guys paint the ceiling? I heard that story a couple times.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that, but...
The woman's been in that room so many times, staring
at the
ceiling while getting laid.
I see. Yeah,
not only does she remember the color of the ceiling and is so bored with sex by now, she comments to you while you're doing the nasty, hey, did you guys change the color ceiling in here?
Right. Now I understand.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, am I going to...
No, mainly... Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and mess with me all day long. Go right ahead.
No,
I'll just ignore
kidding.
It completely because I just don't know what's happening. No, in the Navy, man, we had fun in the Philippines and Thailand and all the ports of call. And there's all kinds of crazy business going on.
Me
over
love
there.
You long time.
Donkey shows, eel shows, ping pong shows, all kinds
We're
of
going to Mexico, stuff. Guys?
Yeah. He's going to
Thailand.
Very similar. Very similar.
Yeah.
To, cool. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I like the lady boys that much.
I gotta say, Thailand was one of my favorite times ever.
Yeah, Thailand.
How many lady boys did you sleep with?
Zero, but we did make it a point to go to a lady boy bar.
Good, good.
Just window shopping. Just window shopping.
Can we go to a lady boy bar when I go to Chicago? Or I'm sorry, Illinois.
That's up to Mr. McFain.
Okay.
meet you guys for the first time, and the first thing you drop at McFain is like, hey guy, Connor and I was talking about going to Ladyboy Bar. Are you up for that, McFain? Taxi!
Taxi! Honestly, he probably would be okay with it.
He's like, I can't believe you guys want to do that. Yes!
His wife would be like, I knew it.
He doesn't care.
Okay. Before we begin this in earnest, I got to ask Reetan, because we were talking about Army, Navy, Taiwan, and college stories, you know, the proverbial sock on the door and all that stuff. Have you got one for us?
No, not really, honestly. Thankfully. No, I never really got caught or anything.
Never got caught?
Never had to do that. My ex-girlfriend did freak out one time because my door was partially open when we were fooling around. She's like, the door was open? I'm like, whatever. No one's here.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's an awesome story around. Who's ever been caught by their parents?
Oh, yeah.
See, I was never stupid enough to bring a girl back to the house to fool around.
My mom did lots of meth. That wasn't a place where I was like, hey, I'm going to take women here.
My girlfriend was long distance, so I could only see her like once a month on weekends. So she had to like literally come to the house for like 3 days and stay there. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Anyway.
One time when I got a girlfriend, my mom's like, oh, you're not gay. I'm like, thanks, mom. Thanks.
She's so happy. Muzzles off.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
This will be interesting because I rarely hear what I say.
Well, you know what? I think I'll stream this just for fun. So
don't do that.
Oh, yes. I love doing that. I love random. The live feel. You got to think on your feet, man. You got to be hip. You got to be now. None of this post-edit crap. I have no time for editing anymore. It's going live. It's going out. It's happening right now. The After Party Podcast. Problem is, it's Monday. How do we make Monday work? Okay, how about this? Ladies and gentlemen, you just had your weekend. You had your fun. Well, this, notice the term, after the party. You had your party on the weekend. You saw your cool geeky movie on the weekend. You got to hook up with your girlfriend if she's long distance on the weekend. You hung out with your friends. You played your tabletop RPGs on the weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Did you not? The After Party Podcast discusses all those topics and more. And we may even disrupt someone's Friday night by inviting streamers live. But tonight, as a concept test, I have Mr. Matt Witt from our Star Wars podcast and close personal friend of mine, our new assistant social media director, Alexandria Ball, my daughter, as well as a DMGM in the university field in her own right. Daddy has tried to teach her to use her powers for good, but not evil. New to the podcasting and cat sitting world. And a newcomer to Rollmonger's field, a man that's auditioning, a man that I found on Twitter and find personally hilarious, a wordsmith. And you can also catch him on the Shambazzle 5th edition live stream on Jeff James Jones is in the house.
Hey, how's it going? The After Party Podcast. We will hold your hair back for you as you hurl all of your RP content out to us. It'd be awesome.
Hey, I like that. That is even better and funnier than when I posted is like, you know, we are random, rude, rambunctious, and not safe for work. But holding your hair back, I like that. We hold your hair back.
Well, that means we're nice. It's after the party. The party's over. We're just, you know, still hanging out.
We're in the friend zone hoping that, you know, like, well, maybe this girl will date me if I'm really nice.
Do not discuss that with my wife.
No, all my wife's at work.
You, me, and the internet, buddy.
That's right. Well, another logo he's working on for this podcast is, you know, what's said in the game lobby stays in the game lobby.
Unless you're streaming live
on the internet. Which apparently, you know, I'm just crazy enough to do. So what we're going to talk about tonight and what I'm hoping to get a little feedback on today, gentlemen and ladies and listeners and streamers and people that are like, it's Monday night and they're so bored of the internet, is what do you want to see? Now, we have a whole bunch of segments that we talked about putting into the Attack of Opportunity podcast. Now, Attack of Opportunity, as you may well know, is a behind-the-scenes look at Rollmongers, at us, at our cast, at our crew, and some of the content creators that have generously donated their music and time, ideas, and artwork to our amateur cause, I guess is the best way I could describe us at the moment. And these shows are 10-20 minute segments, and we're talking about doing something bigger. So a little while back, my partner Connor Besh and our good friend Ryan Messina insisted that I record everything when we get together and everyone's chatting and talking. How was your day? How was the video game? Did you see Black Panther? No, I didn't see Black Panther. Please don't spoil it for me. That kind of thing. We were recording everything. I was looking back through recordings and I found the 50 Shades of Grey story. I found the college sock story, which I've already posted online as a trailer for the After Party podcast, just because I thought it was probably the worst of the worst, the raunchiest of the raunchiest, and the rudest we could probably safely be. So that's setting the bar. That's not, we're going to constantly chin that bar. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure when you put the NSFW tag on something, you pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're going to try and push the envelope. But with those parameters in mind, we're hoping to hear DM stories. We're hoping to hear about people's great weekend. One thing you will not hear in the After Party podcast are politics, religion, and sexual preference for three reasons. First, they're dated. If you happen upon this podcast a year from now, we would like it to still be relevant, going, oh, look, they're talking about universal geeky stuff. I love that game when I played it, even though they said they were playing Monster Hunter last weekend, that kind of thing. Second is talking about politics, who's in office, what have they done, what have they screwed up, is also what we consider very dated. And we think that'll put our listeners off. And sexual preference right now is a very popular concept, a very popular thing for people to tweet about or whatever. And for us, it's like, hey, we don't judge, but, you know, can we just get back to gaming? You know, I don't care. Black or white, dead of night, whatever you do, that's cool. We're freaks too. You know, let's get back to rolling the dice. Let's get back to talking about the geeky stuff that brings us all together, the movies we love.
We were freaks first.
That's right. So,
whatever happens behind the bars of the cage you keep in your basement is your own business.
That's exactly. So my first question actually is if we can combine a little bit of the Attack of Opportunity podcast, we will be picking Jones's brain about how he first became a nerd and all that stuff over in that podcast. But for right now, first of all, Jones, did I get your player in a fifth edition game with some buddies out of Toronto?
I'm a DM, actually, for a group of eight players. I started playing about 2 years ago with that group. One of my players wanted to stream and or record and or podcast, and I was like, that's not going to happen. Some people are uncomfortable with that. So he decided to start his own game, and he graciously allowed me to play in that game. So he started streaming on Twitch and did some YouTube stuff, and now he's changing it into a podcast. I still get to play in that game every other Tuesday. When the months haven't gone by with us, every other Tuesday being every other Tuesday, but we're back tomorrow, so I'm actually really excited about that.
I started up
another campaign that I'm DMing for another group that was smaller and grew to a table of seven players. So, yeah,
that's a big table. And this is face to face, or are you doing this like via?
Oh no, this is live on my table in my house.
Nice.
Way to do it.
Yeah,
it's totally. Well, it is a totally different dynamic.
Oh no, it's a different game. Like, you're not going to get an epic political campaign with a lot of character growth in with a table of eight players. What you're going to get is a bunch of joking around, killing monsters, and stupid scenarios that I come up with.
Nothing wrong with that, as long as everybody's having a good time.
That's what it's all about.
Now, just to warn you guys tonight, to try and keep this podcast from running too long or too badly, I'm running a clock here. So I'm using a Zoom account that actually isn't paid for, and the clock is ticking. We are down to 8 minutes. And this is to keep the idea of things being segmented.
It's a very good usage of that feature in Zoom for the free account.
Well, I also was thinking of an idea of calling something, you know, 45 minutes to seal their fate, because that's what they usually give you, is a clock of 45 minutes and try and actually play a full game. But that's why we're here, discussing ideas. Now, if you have an idea, something that you would like to see us do, something that you, the listener, would like to see us discuss or know about us, you can email us at rollmongers@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you anytime, day of the week. I have a bad habit of, never putting my phone down, or one of our Rollmongers team will happily, you know, send you something a little bit more personable than, you know, Rollmongers would like to thank you for your time, blah blah blah, and you get that personal attention because we are what we call in the business far from famous. We have nothing better to do than answer your emails, so let them pour in, please. So anyway, I know I don't have Matt for very long. It is a rare treat to see Alex online, but we are here to talk to Jones. So now we know a little bit about you. What would you like to see in After Party Podcast? What would you like to see in a talk show about geeks or whatever, whether it's a 5-minute bit or 20-minute bit?
That's a really complicated question because I'm not prepared. I didn't take notes. I didn't know there'd be a test today. I'd like to hear segments about, you know, discussing stories of different campaigns. Maybe do segments by Ravenloft stories or stories you remember from doing in the Dark Sun campaign setting, or awesome stuff about Spelljammer. Like, you could separate it that way because there's so much content and so many different tabletop role-playing games to discuss that having just an open general discussion about everything, I mean, could be less as likely for people to digest easily than someone who just wants to hear something about Ravenloft.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, and they know what they're getting up front. Tonight, we're talking about Dark Suns. You know, did you enjoy living with the Flintstones? Yes or no? Did you love lanky, tall elves that ran across the desert even when they were pregnant with babies and they just had to keep running and running and running like the middle of the Forrest Gump movie? They kind of know, even if it's only a segment, they know what they're in for. They know what they're getting. So I personally love that idea. Now, it's not just between the four of us. Like I said, I am asking for, you know, listener views, and I will probably put up some polls. But some of our also heavyweights, Connor Bash, Clinton Shard, Frank Hamilton, and stuff that, you know, have a lot of pull as our executive producers
And the other idea I had that just popped into my head, because this is how my brain works, is the obituary section where we discuss character deaths and the horrifying impact of those deaths. Like, we write an obituary for them and then tell a story about how some asshole dungeon master killed your fucking original content. I might have gotten a little too excited.
I was forced to read an obituary in character. I wasn't ready for it. I was playing with Jay alongside Alex, and he started Carrion Crown, the adventure path for Pathfinder. And we were mucking around, and because I was learning podcasts a couple of years ago, I was recording stuff and saying, guys, you know, do you mind if I record the game? Not to really use. I'm just trying to wrap my head around trying to DM or play while simultaneously running the tech myself. And they're like, sure. So I recorded this on Skype, and I kind of forgot we were recording, and Alex and I got all into character and we're doing all this stuff, and my character was a real jerk off, and they like, would someone like to come forward and read the obituary for Dr. So-and-so? And I'm like, I'll do it. I had the free sandwiches, you know, so I come up and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll give a eulogy. Friends, good townsfolk of this dreary shithole, Dr. Lambaste was a close friend and confidant of myself. My daughter, pointing out Alex, once actually saved his life. But if fate has it in for you, looking down the coffin, fate has it in for you. He paid well. I wouldn't be here if he didn't. And I think it comes a time in every one man's life when you see those who've fallen and you think to yourself, God, I'm glad that's not me. But it gives you the strength to carry on and find true purpose in one's own boots, where one stands, whether it be in the mud, in the rain, or on a high hilltop, or at Sarah's brothel and fine dining. Wherever you are, wherever you stand, that's where you could stay day to day, but with the wind at your back and needing to travel on, some people don't. And I think Dr. Lambert was one of those people who didn't. He wanted to travel. He wanted to study as many fields of magic and fields of science as he could. But a man can't be everywhere at once. And he relied on many others to bring him knowledge that he needed so he could delve deeper. And any man that commits himself to such a great purpose deserves our respect. And he will be missed. Okay. I was kind of going for having them all stunned silence between compliments and what is he talking about? I was tempted to give an honest, gifted eulogy, but yeah. What can I say? The ham gets the better of me. Yeah. So, as far as putting the gentleman in the ground, like, do we just leave the coffin here and the gravediggers look after it later? Or is there a flag to fold up and give to the daughter? Or
Is anyone else speaking?
No.
Okay. Get a blade of grass and play the kazoo. Sorry. He will be missed. I lean over to Alex. God, all I can taste is hay.
Continues giving the last rites.
Sorry, Father, please continue.
And shortly thereafter, you are escorted back to the Lorimer estate to await the reading of the will.
Turn away, pull my flask to clear my throat. Oh, forgot that's stronger than actually inhaling grass. Okay. And we're led away to the reading of the will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off to the Lorimer estate.
Well, I'm not really expecting anything, but I'm sure there'll be drinks and sandwiches. Wow.
She looks a little taken aback and hurries off to the kitchen.
Okay.
Our hosts.
What? There's always sandwiches at funerals. Really, really nice ones. Very small, but always tasty.
I have that much for the green things they put in them.
I don't know. I'm tearing up a little bit at the thought of not having sandwiches. This is the first real emotion I've shown.
I just spieled out this minutes of terrible, terribleness. And I actually, it's posted on my other account too on SoundCloud. I don't want to pull the link to Rollmongers because I don't want to tarnish the Rollmonger brand with my own personal junk that I sometimes run off and do. But there, I told you where you can find it. Sorry, so when you said obituary, I'm like, oh, hell yes.
It's a good idea. I also wouldn't mind hearing something along the lines of really, really cool plays that players have pulled off on their GMs, things that they did that the GM didn't expect or threw a real loop into the like a game changer for the story that a player pulled out rather than a GM.
Okay, let's hear it. Because like I said, Alex's appearances, having our assistant social director actually showing up in person is really rare. She's like
okay,
6
I'll
hours away
back.
From me and listen, never see her.
So basically I had a party of 4. 2 of them ended up leaving the city, so I was down to 2 players. I have Jay and my friend Kevin. Kevin was playing this Oreed with a giant Earthbreaker, and Jay was playing a Bard. And I thought I had them. I had them down in the tunnels underneath some big city, and basically I had a Minotaur at one end of the tunnel, and I'm like, oh, I totally have them this time. Like, there's no escaping, and I had the Minotaur charge, and out of nowhere, the bard is just like, oh, I cast Grease. And my Minotaur died within seconds. This thing had to be twice as strong as them. But it fell because it missed its saving throw, instantly fell, and then got a giant earth hammer breaker to the
head. I can just see that. He like slides up right up under them with his axe going.
Yeah.
Oh, hi,
completely
sorry.
Completely prone underneath the 2 players. And I was just like, all hours of work up to the Minotaur of the maze of the sewers.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty clever though.
There's
genius. They got
bamboozled.
There's a segment. The DM frustration, hours of prep. You know, now players and YouTubers and streamers don't like being railed. Oh yes, it's a story, and we understand DM. You've done hours of prep, but they don't like feeling they're being catpawed or stuck on the rails. They want to have the freedom to explore the world. Your world, or the world, your version of Pathfinder, or whatever. But you know, you're supposed to, as a good DM, let them change things. Even if you spent hours reading the story and thought the story was really cool, and you really want them to lick every wall and find that secret door or whatever, you know, you're not supposed to, like, you know, if they miss something, they miss something. Or if they come with some crazy idea and spend, oh, I don't know, hours, you know, banging their head because you decided to like make one wall a checkered pattern, and they're convinced that looks like a chessboard and it must be something significant, and you know, you've got Technicolor stuff going on this what actually is magical, and they really
are on a tricycle, rides by, they don't see it.
Exactly, all that stuff's happening, you're going, guys, look over here, and they're like, no, we're gonna one puzzle at a time, DM, what are you, cruel? We must deal with the magical blue chessboard. It means something. And I'm like,
it means nothing.
Here, no. At DM, you'll be fluid with your story, and you can work around your characters.
Yes.
With my players, I like to do something at the end of the session called "This is the treasure you didn't find." And I show them the stuff that they missed.
That is
just
awesome.
Because, like, I the sometimes okay. So with 8 players,
we're down to 1 minute.
1 minute. Despite you earn as a dungeon master, the like level of negative feelings you generate towards the people that are supposed to be your friends, helping you collaborate, tell the story, despite builds up. So why I show them the treasure they didn't get at the end of it is because it makes all of that spite go away and doesn't make me TPK them the next time I see them.
So we've got...
It's DM venting.
So we've got, yeah. No, this is great. We've got DM frustrations. We have epic character death and obituary. We have the treasure you didn't get. I'm going to love that one. And what was the other one we came up with?
Campaign.
Specific DM campaign stories. So that's a great start. And not to mention all the wonderful nuggets about people, you know, just hanging out pre-game, post-game. And our official stance on this. We are live and recording, and welcome back to another edition of The DM is Calling. With me, my partner and commoner in the hot seat, as it were, Big C. But today, we are going to pick at a couple topics. One is why we're here. Why are we podcasting? Well, I don't know, Connor, boredom mostly.
I've been doing podcasts for a while now. If I can do my little shameless plugs, I have an old coworker and good friend of mine who does this just kind of on the side of his day job at readandentertainment.com. He does like journalism news and stuff. And he brought me in there just because he was like, hey, a techie, you could be useful. And I kind of fell in love with it. You know, I don't think I got the radio voice yet, but I definitely got the attitude and personality for it. So, you know, the first step of being really good at something is being kind of okay at something.
Yeah. No, I think you got a strong voice on this. I'm still playing around with different types of voices to make my own sound better. I grew up in the 80s, and my brother and I used to listen to the Sunday Night Funnies that were posted right after the Dr. Demento show, where Weird Al Yankovic got his start. He used to send in material to the Dr. Demento show, where they played all kinds of parody songs and stuff, and he put up Another One Rides the Bus, his parody on Another One Bites the Dust, and my brother and I, when we were from 12 to 15, used to listen to this stuff. And then they would end it, and on comes this more adult comedy show where they would post Cheech and Chong's radio antics and stuff. And they were really good at setting a scene. They did all kinds of comedy, mini radio shows, and they had background music, they had ambiance music, and they did Buster the Crab video, cast, where one guy was actually interviewing a body crab, like the disease, and all kinds of stuff. And my brother and I just ate it up. They had George Carlin, a magnificent comedian, on at night. They did, they had all kinds of stuff. And it made me fall in love with the theater of the mind, that radio show, that idea that put some decent backdrop setting music behind a couple voice actors that know what they're doing. And you were there, you could see it all. You know, even though you were staring at a radio or around the room, you could see it. You were there. You were next to them. You know, you were right next to Cheech Marin's character as he's in a business meeting in a sushi restaurant calling the chefs out. They're all going, ah, sushi! And he's sitting there poking his finger into whale anus and offering it. This thing is really chewy like finger food. And offering it to Chong's character. And the guy starts throwing up and everything. And it's graphic all up in your head. And that's how I got into this. But never really had a chance or had time to explore it until now. So I'm really happy to have Connor here with me as a guiding hand. I wouldn't say he's a youngster, but a little younger than myself and a little bit more hip with the podcast crowd.
I don't think I've ever been called hip before.
You're a hipster. Oh. And it also helps the relations between Canada and America. I'm a Canadian myself and up in the Kawartha Lakes. And Connor here is from Chicago. And you can actually, I want him to open a window so you can hear the L train going by, because I just love that ambience. Getting back to the main reason why we are here, we are going to have, Connor and myself, we're going to have people in the hot seat, our players. A lot of them are DMs in their own right. The other day we were discussing funny stories that happened to you in an RPG. Didn't have to be the D&D genre. It could be Shadowrun, it could be Star Wars, it could be anything. But the topic was falling, and we all pulled out a neat little story about a player that fell to their doom or something funny that was going on. I missed one of my Star Wars stories, but I could possibly plug that in the second edition of that. We also covered the topic of languages, using languages in an RPG that a lot of DMs overlook because the players are just happy to talk among themselves in the common language, or if you're playing something like Star Wars, the basic tongue, just so the game speeds along. And the DM will throw in an alien or a foreign race or something in these games and have them do their little spiel in an ancient language or whatever, but quickly have it break down into common or a basic English, and the players can absorb the material and off they go. And I always felt they were missing out, like for the extra 30 seconds to 5 minutes where you could actually have an NPC, a non-player character that the us DMs portray, or a something that the players encounter in their romp through theater of the mind. Not just accents and not just, you know, saying or describing as best you can, being a writer or not a writer, to the players what's going on, but doing a little research. I ran a scene in the opening of The Mummy's Mask, and a high priestess comes out and she says a prayer to one of the Egyptian gods that Pathfinder has adopted into the pantheon of the fantasy world. And then I did some reading on it and it was like, no, that's not right. That's not one of the ancient Egyptian gods. This is one of the fantasy gods for the Pathfinder world. And though the Egyptian ones are there, they're covered later. But she comes out, she says this little prayer and everything. So I started going online and looking up actual Egyptian prayer and stuff, how they did it. And I find a whole bunch of stuff blocked and privated and private channels. Like, I just wanted to hear some little, you know, not like the Gregorian chants or anything, but, you know, a little mood music for you, help you meditate. But something that, you know, I could use as material that... you know, make the game stronger, more vibrant, but it's so hard, I'm finding, to present this material or cut and paste, as I like to call it, doing a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say stealing material, but it's like, you'll research something and you'll bring it over and like, oh, look at this, I got this great song, I've got this great mantra or something that I'm using, and then let's make it pretend, let's have it, you know, embellished in the fantasy world, and poof, you have something that the players identify to because it's based on legend, it's based on fact, it's based on actual theology or history of our own world, but you're rolling it into the fantasy world. And if we were to, you know, launch this podcast or launch a YouTube video, it's going to be slap, 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 no, take it down because, you know, copyright this and copyright that, or you will offend this group of people, or you offend that group of people. And it's like, come on, people. What happened to just having your say and, you know, taking the context and what it's meant to be? Anyway, your thoughts, Connor?
I definitely do. I like to go for history for a lot of my notes. That being said, I usually do shortly after twist it into my own version of the story just because, damn it, it's my narrative and I'm going to tell it the way I want to. Grumple, grumple. and usually just because... The genre that I play is, you know, high fantasy. You go to the standard tropes of fealty life for, you know, kings and demons and devils. But history has been... We got a lot of these different kinds of outlets that we could use to fuel our stories for this. And a lot of people tend to look at them nowadays and go, oh, you can't talk about that. One of my favorite kinds of stories is, you know, around the times of Damascus or, you know, like the Crusades. People kind of get touchy about these kind of things now, and it's like, you know, you get the idea that after a while, comedy is tragedy plus time, and it's taken longer and longer to really get that time to come through.
Yes, I'm finding there's a lot of Cold War movies and World War II movies that are much more sensitive material that can come out now after the 60-year ban, as it were, so people don't get their butt in a knot. But, you know, for the people at the time and our grandfathers, it's serious stuff and still is. But no, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, we still have to tread lightly, but we're allowed to swear and we're allowed to, you know, do stuff. Stating your opinion or just saying on mic and recording it, you know, on microphone, this is this, or this is the way I feel. You are technically, you know, not just putting it out there, you are pushing it towards the public ear. And the public ear is a sensitive thing to play with, and we do have to be careful. You're talking about history and the Damascan era. That reminds me of The Kingdom of Heaven, starring Orlando Bloom and Liam Neeson and Jeremy Irons. And it's a magnificent movie. It's huge. It's Cinescope. It's one of those like old romantic Roman mighty Caesar that you'd see come out of the anywhere from the
50s, 60s, 70s kind of thing, you know, where there's a cast of thousands and all that kind of thing, even though now they might be CGI'd in there. And one of the very first backdrop movies where they actually pushed the concept of Blu-ray and how it really cleaned up the picture, it deals with the French doing the Crusades right before the British had a go at it. And just a beautiful, beautiful movie. The scenes, the concept, the actors, the costumes and everything. It really puts you there. You really get a feel that you are under the burning sun, as it were, and riding around in the sand. And it, you know, it just draws. It's one of those great movies that draws you in. And it's one of the ones I'm going to recommend to my players to watch when we start grinding through 6-module adventures of The Mummy's Mask. And it, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of this is going to go by, and staying in the same setting with your characters might get a little tiresome. So I'm going to pull out a couple tricks and start recommending some books or some movies to sort of keep them tuned in and plugged in. Anyway, I'm afraid that's all the time I have for today. We will probably and most likely edit this and tag it on to something else to make it seem more glorious. But I'd like to thank my partner in crime here, Connor, for taking the time to hang out with me today here in The DM is Calling. And we will see you next time. Can you help me wrap this up, Connor?
Yeah, totally, man. I guess some good advice to always end on. An apple a day will keep the dragon away. No, that's not how it goes.
You gotta throw a lot of apples at that dragon, man.
You don't need to outrun it. You just need to outrun the slowest party member.
Oh, yes. Yes, I don't have to outrun it. I just gotta outrun you. All right. Thanks a lot for coming, and we will see you next time. Cue the awesome non-copyrighted music now. Da-da-da-da. Off we go.